Were it not for grace, this building would be empty. Well, again, good morning. Grateful to see you all here this morning, to be here in front of you again. And I want to encourage you. We did have a good time this morning at the 9:30 hour and here together. And we're going to be meeting again at 4:30. And this is not for just Sunday school teachers only. If you teach in any age group, anywhere in the church, Awanas, anything else, or if you've even thought about teaching, if you're an assistant or associate teacher, want you there. If you've ever had a teacher, we want you there. That's all of you. Did you get it? Okay. This is for everybody. I'm looking forward to this afternoon. I look forward to this morning too. In fact, I'm going to tell on Miss Wanda. It's not really telling her, but Miss Wanda saw me after between the 9:30 hour and the service. And she said, Bill and I have been to a lot of Sunday school trainings. We've been to Ridgecrest, which is a national training institute. And she said, that was the best I think I've ever had. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm not telling you that, saying, look at me. That's not about me. Because what I told her was, I don't know that I've ever had anybody say that about that. But I have had people say that about what you're going to see at 4:30. So you need to show up. Because you ain't seen nothing yet, Wanda. God is good. God is great. And I'm looking forward to that, being with you this afternoon at 4:30 and then again for our service at 6:30. What I Need to Grow. That's what we've titled the message today, What I Need to Grow. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. We'll get there in just a few minutes, Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. But, you know, as a youngster growing up just outside of Louisville, I didn't always agree with my mother and father on what I needed to help me grow. Take food, for instance. They wanted me to eat all kind of green vegetables, black-eyed peas, and carrots. Now, yeah, exactly, Kelly, yuck. Now, I do eat a lot more vegetables now than I did back then, but I still do not eat black-eyed peas. I just don't understand why anybody would want to eat something that tastes like dirt. But most everything else I've come along with. But as a child, we're going to tip that next screen there. As a child, I was a fan of Popeye. Popeye the Sailor Man, one of my favorite cartoon characters. But what he was popping open and gulping down as spinach and what my mother was feeding me, that's two totally different things, I guarantee you. There ain't no way Popeye would have been gulping down what my mom was feeding me as spinach. Now, I think I'm convinced that Popeye's spinach, the manufacturer of Popeye, I don't know who the manufacturer was, but I'm convinced that his spinach tasted more like chocolate. Or at least Flintstone vitamins, right? I mean, it had to be one of those. There's no way he would have been gulping down anything else. I have a little fun there, but the point is, as kids, we don't always know what is good for us, right? But had it been left up to me, I would have had a diet of candy and sugar. But we all know that, and I know now, that candy and sugar is not a healthy diet. And the same is true in our spiritual lives, isn't it? We need a healthy diet. We need a healthy spiritual diet. But what does that diet consist of? That's some of the things we're going to look at today, in the message today. We need a steady diet of the things that will produce well-being and growth. In spiritual growth, one of the main things here is Bible study. We need Bible study. Now, just like in food, we know that you need protein and as part of a healthy diet, and we know that fish is a good source of protein. Some people actually like to eat their fish raw. I'm not one of those people. Therefore, I don't eat sushi, so just put that out there, I guess. But a complete diet of raw fish would not be good. A complete diet of any one food would not be good. And by the same token, you can study the Bible in the privacy of your own home, but it will not be the same as studying with a small group of believers. To get the full impact of God's Word, you need to study with others. You need to study on your own, but you also need to study with others. God made you this way. And where's the best place that I believe you can do this? Well, you know, you should know what I'm going to say. The best place that I know of, and it's been proven for centuries, is Sunday school. A small group, some type of small group, open small group Bible study. Go ahead to that next slide there. To a growing, maturing Christian, yeah, that one, thank you. To a growing, maturing Christian, serving the way that God wants us to serve and the way that God's purposed you to serve, you need to be engaged in an open, small group ministry. Now, you see these two circles. It's kind of hard to tell from where you're at. Well, you can tell up there. This one looks better than that one back there. Which one of those, if those represented Sunday schools or small groups, which one of those would be easier to get into? Not a trick question. Yeah, the dotted one, right? Because it's open so that you can get in and out of. Well, Sunday school is supposed to be an open group, meaning that any person can come in at any time, any week, and not feel like they've been left out because they weren't here last week or they haven't been studying with you for a while. And it's one that's welcoming, accepting them into the group. The closed group, we do have closed groups in church, small groups that we do short term that are discipleship building groups and grow you farther. But do you know Sunday school classes can actually be like the one on the right? After 18 months, any Sunday school class has been together for 18 months, you start closing yourself off. Now you say, no, not my class. You don't know our class. But you will. It's human nature. You start closing yourself off. You forget what it's like to be new. And you've got buddies, you've got friends that you've been with for a long time. And we forget what that new person is going through coming in there, not knowing people, not knowing what was going on. And so we need to work to make sure that we keep those small groups, our Sunday school classes, open so that everyone feels welcome when they come into class. An open group allows you to individually be open to fulfilling the five functions of the church. Now, the five functions of the church are evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, and worship. And these are all filled through Sunday school. But you know how you can remember those if you're wanting to really be a student and find out how do I remember those five functions? Evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, and worship. Here's how I learned them back probably 30 years ago. Every dying frog must wiggle. EDFMW, first letter of each word, every dying frog must wiggle. Evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, and worship. Now, quit thinking about the frog. I don't want you thinking about that the rest of the sermon. But where did Sunday school originate? All of those five functions are displayed and carried out through the Sunday school and other ministries of the church. But where did Sunday school originate? I was actually talking to someone over at the Lifehouse last Sunday, and he had studied this and read this. He said something about it, and I said, yeah, I know where it started. We can trace modern-day Sunday school back to a man named Robert Raikes. He was an Englishman in Gloucester, England. And he was a young Englishman who wanted to provide an education for the children, factory workers. And to say there were no child labor laws, so children, as soon as they could big enough to go to the factory and work, they sent them to work, and they worked 6 days a week, sometimes 12 hours a day. So they didn't have an opportunity for education. There was no public education. And so he had this burden to provide an education for them, and he had an even stronger burden for providing a Christian education for these impoverished children, help them break out of the poverty cycle. And so he started a school for them on their only day off from the factory, which was Sunday. And that was their Sunday school. And that's how it started. And it spread throughout, that was so popular, it spread throughout England and then on farther and came over here in the late 1800s. But what we know is Sunday school, truly, what we know is Sunday school was actually practiced nearly 1,900 years prior to Robert Raikes. And we're going to read about that first Sunday school. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please stand with me as we read these verses. Acts chapter 2, if you're able, physically able to stand. Verses 41 through 47. And it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Father God, we thank you so much for this, your word. Now may your Holy Spirit speak into our hearts in this moment, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. You see, you see here that the earliest New Testament church practiced Sunday school. But they didn't call it Sunday school, did they? There's nowhere in that passage where you see the word Sunday school. They didn't call it Sunday school because they did it daily, is what it says. Day by day, they did it daily. Sunday school should be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 24/7. You say, well, we can't meet that much that often. They didn't either. But not that you should meet every day, not that you should have that kind of thing where you're meeting, getting together. We don't have that kind of lifestyle where we can always do that. But you should have that kind of relationship with the same people that are in your Sunday school and your class and your group so that you can have a 24/7. That you can call on one another, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and say, I've got to run with my wife to the hospital. Can you come and watch the kids? That people would come. That you know, whatever it is, that you can call on someone to help you through that rough time or to celebrate with you when you need to celebrate. These verses tell us that these earliest of believers discovered the elements of healthy spiritual growth. It is what we know today as the 5 functions of the church. And I'm going to start with what it talks about here. Verse 42 says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's discipleship. Then it also says they devoted themselves to fellowship in that same verse. In verses 44 and 45, it says they had all things in common and even sold their possessions to meet the needs of others. That's ministry, taking care of the needs of others. Verse 47 says that they were praising God. That's worship. And this verse also tells us that people were being added to their number daily. That's evangelism. I want to look at those 5. Those are the 5 points we're actually going to be using today. And we're going to start right here with evangelism. Evangelism is simply telling your story. That's it. Evangelism is telling your story. It is you sharing with other people what God, through His love, is doing in your life. You see, I think Mickey mentioned it a while ago, people can talk about their ball teams or their favorite video games or their favorite fishing spot or whatever that is. And they can talk for hours. And they get excited about talking about it for hours with anyone who will listen, even if that person doesn't want to hear it. We talk about those things that mean the most to us. And not only guys, a lot of me say, well, yeah, that's what men do. Women, I hear you talking of the latest, greatest dance reality show or your favorite contestant on The Voice or one of those other programs. Folks, if we as a church got as excited about Jesus as we do America's Got Talent or UK basketball, we could turn this city upside down. That is evangelism. I mean, think about it. Evangelism. When you buy a car and it performs well and you like that car, do you have to go back to the dealer to go to school and learn how to tell why you like that car? No. You share out of your personal experience, right? You share that how that car is good, not because the dealer told you it's good, but because you've experienced how that car is good. You share from your own personal experience, and God created you to have a relationship with Him and for Him, and He created you to have that relationship so that you can share with others about your relationship with God. You can evangelize, you can testify, you can share your story. God created you this way. And you're learned and you are encouraged through the testimonies of others when you attend Sunday school. You see, Sunday school is not about one person sitting in front of you or standing in front of you and teaching and doing the pedagogical style teaching is what it's called. It is sharing your personal experiences with one another to grow, to help one another be built up in Christ. And we need to get excited about sharing the greatest news on earth about Jesus Christ. The second point, the second function of the church is discipleship. We just talked about evangelism. The second one is discipleship. Verse 42 says that a disciple is a follower. It doesn't say this, but this is what it means. A disciple is a follower. He's a student. It's a learner who's one who adheres to the teachings of a certain person. As disciples of Christ, we are to be a follower, a student, a learner, and one who adheres to Jesus' teachings. So discipleship would be one who actively and consistently practices these traits. That's what discipleship means. It's not only about sitting in a class and listening to someone dispense knowledge, as I said a minute ago. A disciple is a learner, and true learning will always bring about life change. Unfortunately, we've got people sitting in our churches all across America who've been in Sunday school and class for years and years and decades, and we still see no life change. True learning will always bring about life change. See, folks, you can learn all the facts. You can learn all of the information and all the knowledge that's available. You can learn to quote the Bible from cover to cover. But if you do not put it into practice in your own life, it's nothing more than worthless trivia. The Bible was not given to us for information. It was given to us for transformation. As a child takes in the proper diet and eats, she will continue to grow. Food is the nourishment that transforms her body and causes growth. But if she stops eating, you know something is wrong. She gets weaker. She'll stop growing. She loses weight. She loses strength. And it could eventually lead to her death. Now turn that over to your spiritual walk, folks. It's exactly the same. Your spiritual walk is no different. You need discipleship. Discipleship is that nourishment, that nourishing, bringing you up that helps you to grow. Discipleship is a word that cannot be defined in a one-person setting. You can't do discipleship at home alone by yourself. Discipleship takes more than one. Sunday school is the entry level for discipleship. It's not the end all. It's not where we never graduate from it. But God created us to be disciples, a team of learners. He didn't disciple 12 men one at a time. I'm going to spend 3.5 years with this one, then I'll come over and spend 3.5 years with... No, he brought them together as a small group. Which, by the way, just another side note here. Some researchers several years ago came up with what they said is the ideal number for a small group of learners. What number do you think? Somebody just tossed out a number. What number do you think they said is ideal for adults for a small group of learners? 5? Did somebody say 12? It's 12. I thought Jesus already knew that. His ideal number was 12, they said. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what some researchers did, so we'll take that as truth or vital information. But we need to be part of a small group, a team of learners. And the early church knew this, and they were eager to learn. They were eager to not only learn, they were eager to learn and to practice the traits of learning, following, and bringing others into the discipleship process. And this is what Sunday school does for believers and for the church today. And we need to be a part of that as discipleship, because we're called to be disciples. If we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are disciples of Christ. The third function is one you'll all enjoy. It's called fellowship. Fellowship. There are multiple references in these verses to worship, to ministry, and to fellowship. God created you with this innate desire to have relationships, to have a relationship with Him and have relationships with others, Christians and non-Christians. God created you with this innate desire. We all have it built inside us. We want relationships. And the absolute best place that I know to build and foster relationships, guess where I'm going to say? Sunday school. The best place I know is to build and foster relationships is Sunday school, when Sunday school is done right. That is God's way of doing that. God created you with that desire. And the absolute best place I know is Sunday school. You cannot build relationships studying God's word at home alone, because you're alone. You need relationships. You need to build relationships. And relationships require interaction with other people. You also cannot build relationships in the worship service. You can't build relationships studying the back of somebody's head. You need interaction with people. And so the worship service is not conducive for building those relationships. In here, you need a small group. You need to be able to do that, build them through smaller groups. The biggest way we do that is through Sunday school, because it's the largest organization of small groups. The church of the 21st century, and I've been saying this now since 1998, I think, but the church of the 21st century has a golden opportunity. And we've not, I think today, we've still not capitalized on it. But since God created every one of us to have this innate desire to have, we want relationships, we need relationships, think of all the people out there that are not part of a church. Where are they going to go to find true relationships? We know where they try to go, to bars or to clubs or to ball games and things like that, where they try to build relationships, but there's no place that's conducive for building relationships outside the church. No place. like the small groups that we find in Sunday school. We need relationships to assist our personal spiritual growth. We need relationships with others like us, people that are facing the same trials, people that are going through some of the same things that we are, some of our what I call peers in life. And there's no better place for building and fostering relationships in the world, entire world, than through small group Sunday school classes. We need fellowship. We need relationships. God created us for fellowship. But He didn't create us for fellowship alone. He also created us for ministry, and that's our next function of the church, ministry. Ministry is simply giving of oneself to help meet the needs of someone else. Giving of oneself to help meet the needs of others. And we need to be involved in ministry because that's how we grow. We need to be involved in ministry to help us grow. And in these verses, not only did the believers witness the disciples performing ministry, verses 44 and 45 tell us they practiced ministry. The people, the church people, the new converts, they were practicing ministry. They were meeting people's needs. Let me ask you a question. Will you individually learn more from listening to your preacher or your Sunday school teacher talk about how to be a good servant? If you listen to them for 4 weeks straight telling about how to be a good servant, or if you're asked to prepare, to help prepare one meal and take it to a family in need, which one will you learn more from? 4 weeks of teaching or one meal? Which one do you think? One meal. You always learn more from the experience, from practicing, from doing. You learn more. And we need to understand that you will learn, you will not learn or practice. You can do those kinds of things on your own, that's true, but you will not learn or practice the same ministry in a solo effort as you will in a small group effort. Small group dynamics increases the learning experience. It creates emotional connection to the experience. And one of the things that we'll talk about this afternoon at 4:30 is you absolutely need an emotional connection to learn anything. Do you know that? I'll talk about it later today. But for anything to flip into your long-term memory, you must have an emotional connection. It will not do it without it. And I'll prove it to you this afternoon. So now you've got to be there to hear that one too. But you always learn more from doing. You see, God never created you to do ministry solo. It's okay to do ministry solo. We can do that. Do ministry on your own. But God created you to also do ministry in small groups, to bring others with you, to do things along with you. He never called anyone to be the Lone Ranger. Can I tell you that? Well, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger, because think about it. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger. So I'm going to encourage you, get engaged in Sunday school if you're not already. And if you're involved in Sunday school, then use that second word I said, engaged. Get engaged in Sunday school. There's a big difference. You can be involved. Yeah, I'm involved in church. I go every Sunday. Or you can be engaged in church in Sunday school. Get engaged in Sunday school. And get engaged in serving people. This is ministry. This is why God has you here at this time, at this church, at this point in history. And then the fifth one, the last one that I will talk about is worship. Fifth, we talked about evangelism, we talked about discipleship, we talked about fellowship, ministry, and worship. And of course, I could spend an hour on each one of these or more. Worship. Worship is showing love, respect, adoration, and devotion. Verse 42 says these believers were committed to prayer. They understood the need for communion with God and dependence on God and this open channel of communication that God has provided for us. Folks, prayer is worship. And we need to be a part of, have an active prayer life, both individually and corporately. We do that on Wednesday nights. We do that as we gather together for meetings. And we need to do that in small groups. And we talked about that a little bit at the 9:30 hour this morning. Prayer is worship. And then in talking about worship in verse 46, it says, and every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness, and this verse says, and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. That word simplicity, and I read that translation a little different than the one we read earlier, because that translation uses the word simplicity. It means straightforwardness. It means no disunity. It means no fussiness. Oh, man, we got to go do that. Oh, didn't we just go there? Do I have to do that again? It means none of that. These early worshipers, early believers, worshiped. They met and they worshiped, not only in the temple, but they also met and worshiped in each other's house. The temple wasn't set up like churches today, where it had a lot of different multiple classrooms where you could go to the classrooms. So they met where they could. They met in small groups where they could, in houses or wherever they could find. Folks, this is Sunday school 7 days a week. See, they met not out of obligation, not out of tradition, not because of 9:30 is the hour that we do that. I think there are some people that believe that Sunday school has to be at 9:30 no matter what church you go to, and it's got to be in the Bible somewhere. It must be in the book of Numbers. No, they met not out of an obligation. They met not out of tradition. They met out of a desire to discover God's word. They met out of a desire to discover God's working in each other's lives so they could be encouraged and encourage one another by what God was doing in their lives. They met out of a desire to foster new relationships. And they met out of a desire to praise God for what He was doing in their midst. We come together, and we should be coming together for all of these things: to discover God's word, discover God's working in the lives of others, to foster new relationships, and to praise God for what He's doing in our midst. And God's working in our midst, folks, whether you want to see it or not. He's there. And we talked about some last week, some of us over at the house and afterwards too, on last Sunday night. But they met out of a desire for these things for God. But what exactly, you know, they met out of a desire for what He was doing in their midst. What exactly was He doing? Well, the last line says it all. He was adding to their number daily those who are being saved. How many more people will we have in here next 1 year from today if God added to our number, added just one person today, daily? How many people will we have here next year? How much? How many more? 365. Good. That's the same as is where I grew up too. 365. Think about that. We've got about 180 in here today. Can you imagine another 365? Do you think God could do that? Read Acts. He was doing it over and over and over again in Acts. All we got to do is follow God's example. Follow His word, what He tells us to do. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you need to be involved and engaged in Sunday school, in a small group class of some kind. And we're going to be praying about, where are those next classes that need to be started? What are the classes that we need to look at? We just started one new one last week. And we need to be praying for that class. And there are others that we need to look at. And what would God have us to do? And as you enter into this great venture called Sunday school, whether it's entering for the first time or you after today, you enter into it at renewed and anew, you need to enter into it with the mind and attitude that God created you to be a learner and a mentor. God created you. You need to enter Sunday school this with the attitude that God created you to be a disciple and a discipler, bringing others along with you. God created you, and the reason you'd be involved in Sunday school, God created you to have continuously growing relationship with Him and with others in your class with other believers. And you need to enter into Sunday school with the attitude that God created you to be spiritually fed and to feed others. Sunday school is the church organized. Do you realize Sunday school is the largest? It's the largest organization inside the church, but it's also the largest organization on the face of the earth. Sunday school is the largest organization on earth. Sunday school is the church organized, and there is not one thing that a church can do, or there's not one thing that a church cannot do or cannot accomplish through the Sunday school. As a minister of education in churches where I was, is we'd be sitting in a staff meeting and the worship minister may say, you know, we're going to start recruiting more for the choir. I just throw my hand up and say, we'll take it through the Sunday school. We're talking about doing a capital campaigns fund. I said, we'll take it through the Sunday school. Now, that didn't mean that they're not going to do their part and the pastor's not going to preach on that and teach on that, but it means there's nothing we can't do through the Sunday school because it's the church organized. And I wish that more churches would understand that and grab that. Because there's no matter what you think of. And I had that in one of my books, I think the first book, which I'll have available today at 4:30. on teaching verse 3. I think I wrote that in there, that there's not one thing that any church cannot do through the Sunday school. You can do anything you want to through Sunday school. And I have since had other people, I've been places speaking in Dallas where there's multiple speakers and had other speakers use that same quote from me, because we can do it. God has placed us in churches so that we can be that. God, we can accomplish it. We can, if we work Sunday school the way God created Sunday school to work, the way the first church did, the way we've talked about it, 9:30 hour, and we began practicing it and living it, as did the earliest of Sunday school attendees in the book of Acts. Sunday school is the foundational strategy in a local church for fulfilling the Great Commission, and that's our purpose. That's our purpose from God, is to fulfill the Great Commission, and Sunday school is the foundational strategy in the local church for accomplishing the Great Commission. So what do I need to grow? I need outreach. I need evangelism. I need to tell my story. We're going to be talking about that, working on that some in September. What do I need to grow? I need discipleship. I need to be a follower. I need to be a learner. And I need to live out what I'm learning. What do I need to grow? I need fellowship. I need to foster relationships and grow closer, as you all talked about in the 9:30 hour. We need to grow closer to others. What do I need to grow? I need ministry. I need to use what God has given me to meet the needs of others inside the church and outside the church. And what do I need to grow? I need worship. I need to praise and reverence God and live in unity with other believers as God has brought us together. But where do I learn to practice these? Well, in fact, why don't you tell me? Where's the best place to learn to do all this stuff?
Sunday school.
All right, well, five of you have been listening today. That's good. Where's the best place to learn to do all these things?
Sunday school.
Where are y'all going to be next Sunday at 9:30?
Sunday school.
Some of you didn't want to do that one, did you? Folks, if you want to grow in your spiritual walk and be able to handle life as Jesus modeled it, then please get involved, get engaged in a small group Sunday school class, open group class. If you want your church to grow and to be what God has purposed for this church, then you need to be actively engaged in a healthy and growing Sunday school ministry right here. God's placed you here. If He's brought you here, and that's the only reason you should be here, is because God brought you here. If God's brought you here, then He's brought you here to fulfill the Great Commission, and we do that through all of our ministries. But there's no greater place to learn and to grow than through the Sunday school. Let's pray. Stand with me as we pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this hour, for this time, for this scripture and the message that you have laid upon my heart to deliver today. And I pray that everyone here has been attentive, if not to me, through your Holy Spirit, because your Holy Spirit's our teacher. Your Holy Spirit's the one that convicts us. Your Holy Spirit's the one that leads us to move to a better discipleship process in our own personal lives as well as in our church. Father, I pray that as we've looked at these five functions of the church and how we can employ them through the Sunday school, Lord, I pray that each one of us would walk out of here refreshed and anewed with an idea of what you want us to do individually so that we can lead our classes and our church to do corporately, in serving you, in fulfilling the Great Commission, bringing others into the faith. We can't bring them in, but we can share as you've called us to share, and allow your Holy Spirit to lead them. And in baptizing them and teaching them all these things that you've given us in your word. What a great, great word that you've given us through the Bible. May we be adherent to it. Father, we pray that whatever it is that you've been speaking to us about today, whatever it is that we think, you know, this church needs this, or I need this, or my class needs, then I pray that we would just cry out to you even now in this time of invitation and ask you to help us to not leave it here when we walk out today, but to even ask God to give you a burden. Father, I just pray that they would ask for that burden, for that passion to grow in these areas in their own personal walk and then as a church. Father, for someone here today that does not know that first step of accepting Christ as personal Savior, Lord and Savior, to Lord, to draw into that relationship with you through the shed blood of Christ. And I pray that they would come forward and speak to me or Johnny, that we could share with them or have someone share with them. And that, Lord, whatever else you've laid on people's hearts today, help them not be ashamed, not be bashful, not be shy about stepping out, stepping forward, stepping over across the aisle, talking with and praying with someone else. Whatever it is, Lord, let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may we follow in response to whatever you're calling us to right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you.